Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, and to help us do that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who does a great job for the Tennessean covering all things Titans. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are y'all?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Nick, it's been a very busy couple of weeks here. The hiring of Mike Borgonzi as general manager, and now some more pieces under him starting to come into the fold over the weekend, including apparently Reggie McKenzie that Ian Rappaport put out there last night. But what do you make of the Borgonzi hire and now the pieces that have started to fall in place at assistant general manager and some scouting spots underneath it?
Yeah, I mean, it all falls into the question of, have the Titans gotten better in the last 3 weeks or so? And I tend to think the answer is yes. Obviously, there's no way of knowing until we actually see this all work out, because this comes down to a question of, these guys all say the Titans are going to be better because they believe they are the people who are going to get the right pieces in. And, well, everybody who gets these jobs is going to believe that, so kind of have to take it at value of, they have the right philosophies and they have the right tactics and all these things. And I will buy it for now. I do tend to think that the strategies they are advocating for are the right kind of ones to set a team that went 3-14 back on track toward having a viable, strong enough roster. But obviously there's a reason that people don't get second chances at being a GM all too often in the NFL. It's a hard job. And so we will see if these are the right people to do it. Obviously no way of knowing until they've actually done it.
Nick, do you feel any differently about the GM role since they named Borgonzi, and you've heard Borgonzi talk about it, Mike Borgonzi talk about it, you know, than you did before, like in the interim there when Rand Carthon was fired? And I mean, I know that I was making a lot of assistant to the regional manager jokes here on this program, but do you feel like it's, I guess, more of a quote unquote real GM job than maybe you did before?
I mean, I can tell you frankly that I never cared. As long as somebody is making the decision, I've never really understood why people were so utterly fascinated by who defers to who. I do think this is more of a real GM job in the sense that if you're the one who is setting the agenda, then everything is going to filter through that agenda. So I do think that that is probably what matters most. And frankly, I've never really understood the concept of who the ties would be between. So I do think that it will just be Borgonzi making the decisions. And if there is something being vetoed, it's for, I can't come to the understanding of why that would happen. But yeah, I do think that he being Borgonzi, is going to be the one who is leading the way. And that's probably what matters more than somebody having the ability to veto that. I don't know. if it matters, then we will see. But I have a feeling this is much more of a January story than it will be a September story.
Nick, on that front, I mean, obviously you're talking about the number one overall pick. There's Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, you know, that are going to be available to the Titans, and then we'll see how they view those guys. As we sit here today on January 27th, how do you view what the plan at quarterback right now should be? Do you view it more through the eyes of maybe bringing in a veteran and going that route and, you know, trying to trade down and build up some other parts of your roster? Do you look at Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward and say, you know, I think the Titans would be really, really good if they could draft one of these guys? How do you view quarterback as we sit here today?
Now, with the many, many caveats here that people do not pay me to make football decisions, I would say that I tend to lean towards draft the quarterback last. I am not a guy who believes in starting the rebuild with a quarterback unless it is as close to surefire situation as possible. And being a guy who will admit I have not pored over hours and hours of tape, just watching college football, I don't necessarily think these guys are surefire. I think they are intriguing prospects. I think both Ward and Sanders will develop into being solid NFL starters, but I don't necessarily believe that solid starter is the kind of guy you should pass up the opportunity to build an entire roster for. And if you believe that you can trade back once or twice in this first round and get five or six extra top 120 picks or something like that for the value, I'd be in favor of trading back twice. I'd be in favor of getting as many picks as you can and banking on the fact that next year there are probably going to be more quarterbacks going in the first round. That doesn't mean they'll be better. I'm not guaranteeing right now that the class will be better because we fall into that trap every year of, oh, trust me, next year's a great year. Next year's a great year. But I do think there's going to be more options to fall in love with next year. And the way I look at it, if you go with a bridge quarterback this year, let's just use the name Derek Carr to get nobody excited. If you go with Derek Carr and you stink, you trade it back, you have two first round picks, you can leverage that to go get who you want. If you go with Derek Carr and you're all right, you got two first-round picks, use those the way the Lions did 2 years ago or the way other teams have of now you fill the little bit of holes on your roster and you can compete. I do think both of those are better options than try Shedeur Sanders or try Cam Ward and see how well they develop and you're still probably 2 years away than just, well, yeah, you got a quarterback. Woohoo. I don't know if I'm making sense. It's early for me, but either way, I tend to think that having the more picks next year is the better idea.
No, that does make sense. You mentioned Derek Carr, who, and you're right, not very exciting. There's really not a name that would be terribly exciting, but if you had a pick of these, because I've thrown out Justin Fields and then taken a lot of crap for it, but if you had your pick of the, you know, the realistic options, who would it be?
If Stafford counts, Stafford is number one, but I don't think that's realistic. I like the idea of Carr because of his experience with Callahan. If there's somebody who I'm projecting ahead on, I think I would lean Zach Wilson just to let him compete with Levis and see what these two guys who have kind of struggled before could be, but I don't know. It's not necessarily the best feeling.
So you want Brian Callahan fired is what you're telling me.
there's not a good option here.
There is not.
But if I wrote this a couple of weeks ago, if people want to dig up the archives, I ranked the 27 best options from, who did I have last on the list? Dylan Gabriel, maybe, all the way up to if Stafford or Dak Prescott actually comes available, which I don't necessarily believe is an option anymore. But after you get past option four, nothing feels great.
No, there's no doubt about that. I do want to get your thoughts on where the Titans are right now from an edge rusher standpoint, because, you know, Abdul Carter is going to be an option for them. We'll see, you know, how that all ends up shaking out. But you've got on the roster right now Arden Key, who has been, you know, a fine, serviceable piece, but has not, you know, been overly productive getting after the quarterback. Harold Landry has been productive, but is starting to get up there, and he coming off the major injury a couple years ago. So how do you view how much work needs to be done from the Titans as it relates to their pass rush this offseason?
Yeah, I will put it this way. I'm pretty sure I had a mock draft go up online this morning where I had the Titans trading back in the first round, using their first round pick on Mykel Williams and using their second round pick on JT Tuiomalau. I am totally fine if this team doubles up and drafts edge rushers back-to-back rounds to start the draft. I think it's that big of a need, and I think it's that important of a need in the NFL. I've probably joked this on your show before, but I think there are five things that matter in the NFL: throwing the football, protecting the guy who throws the football, catching the football from the guy who throws it, rushing the guy who throws the football, and defending the guy who throws the football. They can do the other four moderately okay at this point if you go get a veteran quarterback and veteran right tackle. I just don't think you're going to spend to get the kind of value you need at edge rusher. I think that if you're making a list of the 10 best edge rushers in the NFL, you're probably going to end up with a list of eight guys who were picked in the top 10, and then TJ Watt, who was a mid-first round pick, and Max Crosby, who they hit in the third or fourth round. The value at that position almost always comes near the top of the draft. And if you want to start actually affecting quarterbacks in a way that the teams with the best pass rushes do, that's the easiest position to project. You look at the guy who's big and strong and fast and say, oh, yeah, he'll be able to rush the passer. So if it's Abdul Carter, or if it's Mykel Williams, or if it's James Pierce, or whoever it ends up being that you fall in love with as a pass rusher, go get him. Like, that's why guys like Myles Garrett and guys like Nick Bosa can actually compete to be the number one pick with quarterbacks, because it's not just a super important position, but it's usually a fairly easy position to look at and say, oh yeah, that's going to translate.
Is there a right tackle that they can get and be? Is there a right tackle that they can get and be reasonable this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's all gradient. There are guys who are going to be improvements. I don't know if there's anybody who they're going to look at and say, oh, top 10 right tackle, this is perfectly solidified. But if the gauge is, can the right tackle position improve in 25 as much as the left tackle position improved in 24? I do think the answer is yes, whether it's try on somebody like Trent Brown or Jedrick Wills or whoever it is that will be higher money on the totem pole, or whether it's kind of Patrick McCary, is he a free agent from Baltimore? There are going to be some options there. And then you go in the third or fourth round, draft a developmental project. If you can get a draft pick back, kind of compete your way between veteran and young guy. I do think that's viable. It's not going to be a perfect fix, because teams with multiple holes don't get five top five picks to do it. But if you're prioritizing between edge rush and right tackle, I'll probably get excoriated for it. I still prioritize the edge rush.
I think I'm with you. Nick, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans. We'll react to what Nick had to say. Coming up next, Vanderbilt takes down Kentucky over the weekend. Tennessee loses in a rock fight at Auburn. We'll get to that later this hour as well. Corey Curtis will be at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.